Past several weeks, we have been teaching on living victoriously. And it dawned on me about three quarters of the way through it that the one thing that I really needed to focus on after this was staying that course. Because we can oftentimes set ourselves in a path, set ourselves to going. And as we're out there in the highways and byways of life, all kinds of I'm losing my voice. That Elijah song just took it out of me. On the highways and byways of life, we get often distracted, okay? I can remember back in 1976. Yes, I can remember that far back. I can remember back in 1976, my parents took us for a supposedly two-month vacation in a truck with a camper on the back of it, okay? Now, can you imagine six people, 2 months in a truck camper? Okay? Yeah. Neither could we. After 4 weeks, we were headed home. But anyhow, as we were on our way out through there, we had an agenda. We were going to Mount Rushmore. We were going to the, oh my heavens. Anyhow, we were going out through the Badlands, Mount Rushmore, Devil's Peak, down to, you know, we had this whole thing, this whole trip laid out. Well, once you get going out through there, oh, well, here's a sign that says this thing's over here. We need to go see that. And before you know it, you're off your schedule and nothing's going the way you want it to go, okay? And I can remember we were headed for the Grand Tetons, and there was this little place off to the side. It was called Moose something or the other. And my father thought it'd be great to see a moose, so we went. There were no moose there. I have no idea why it was called what it was. Moose Crossing is what it was. And so, I mean, it was cool, but it took a day out of our schedule. And oftentimes in life, that's what happens to us. We get taken off of the direction that God has for us. Yes, please, that would be great, Russell. That's a good son. Oh, that'll go a long way. Anyhow, so in life, we often get distracted. I mean, how many of you, when you're driving down the road, just going to work, get distracted? The radio station plays a song you don't like. Your cell phone goes off. Some guy blows the horn at you, or gal, or whatever. We're always distracted, and it's easy to get taken off course. And I want us to see that we're not the only ones that have suffered with this. The human condition, sin, okay, has caused this in our lives. So if you would, open your scriptures. We're in the book of John. We are in the book of John. And we are going to be looking at a very familiar piece that many of us have read many times. And you know, we've heard all the teachings on it. It's John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 22. And it's so funny because this deals with someone we all love and we all identify with. Today we were talking about him in discipleship. And it's funny because, you know, I don't plan this stuff. But if you can't see the thread of God in our church and in our lives, I you know, he makes a tapestry that I could never ever make, but it's just so amazing because Peter here is about to get it again, and at the same time be restored, and it's just so amazing what God does. His love helps us to stay the course. Let us read together. It says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, And that night, they caught nothing. Sounds like this group, doesn't it? But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments on, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 150 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of that fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This was now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep. For truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, turning around, saw the disciple who Jesus loved following him, the one who had also leaned back on his bosom at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. So many times in our lives, we get sidetracked. We're supposed to be about something, and we get involved in something else. Jesus' disciples had already seen him twice. They knew he was resurrected. What were they doing? Were they about the work that Jesus had told them to be about? Were they doing what God wanted them to be doing? What were they doing? They went fishing. They went fishing. Peter was sitting there. He had no idea what to do, but he wanted to do something because he had no idea what was going on. Jesus was resurrected. He's alive. Well, didn't Jesus teach them for 3 years what their lives were supposed to be about, that they were to be out there teaching the rest of the world about the kingdom of God, that it is here and that salvation is in the hands of the Christ? But they didn't understand. Here they were going about life, Peter needed to take a detour, and he got derailed, and he went fishing. And how easy is it to follow somebody who gets derailed? Who was following Peter? Half of the disciples were following Peter. We were talking about that today, weren't we? Half of them were following Peter. They went fishing with him. Isn't it amazing how we can get caught up in other people's stuff and get led astray? But you see, God's love for us is so great, God does not let us there. God enters into our mess, and that is Jesus Christ. He enters into our mess when we are at that furthest point from Him to draw us back to Him. And it's so amazing to me, because when we look at what's going on here, God, this is my main point for this entire portion. God wants all our attention. If we are constantly looking and comparing ourselves to others, are we really giving God our all? God wants all our attention. You know, we just read it today that if you're going to live for Christ, you have to give up yourself. You have to give yourself up. You have got to give yourself to Christ and follow Him. Jesus said to Peter in here, follow me. Follow me. And what was the very first thing Peter did upon hearing that command? He looked back and said, well, what about him? How many of us do that in our lives? God is not concerned about you watching somebody else's walk. He'll take care of them. You need to take care of you. Okay? We need to understand God wants us to be so involved with Him that our whole focus is Him. That no matter what comes into our lives, no matter how bad one of our kids gets, no matter what our job does to us, no matter if we land in prison because we did something stupid, that once those things start falling into place, our focus needs to be on Him. Amen? Because if our focus is on Him, He'll help us get right. He'll help us get on that straight and narrow path. But if we're worried about everybody else, we have no idea what direction we're walking, because you don't know what's in front of you. A friend of mine, a friend of all of ours, we all know him, he says to me often, you cannot drive a car looking in the rearview mirror. If you are constantly looking in the rearview mirror, what's going to happen? You're going to crash. He said, I think it's amazing. You know, he said, people are constantly, and that's the way we live our lives. We've got this great big window that shows us the future, because that's what's here in front of us now. And this little thing up here called the past. And rather than focusing on this big window of life that we're involved in now, we're focused on this little thing. Well, what's going on behind me? What's going on behind me? And the next thing you know, there's a tree in front of you. And you're headed for a crash. You're headed for a fall. So today, I want to challenge you to start thinking about your life, your own life, in a very particular way. If you want to live victoriously, if you want to understand what it means to live victoriously, you've got to understand what Jesus just did to Peter here. Peter had denied Christ, okay? Not once, not twice, but three times. Peter had denied Christ three times. How many times did Jesus reinstate Peter? Three times. And right on top of that reinstatement came what? A rebuke. We need to remember, if we want to walk with God, we have got to keep such short accounts that we are staying that course. And the second part of my title is, stay in your own lane. Okay? There are two lanes on a two-way street, right? If you get in the other lane, what's going to happen to you? And so many times in our lives, that is exactly what we do. We get so enamored by all the stuff going on that we're in the wrong lane and we are headed for a crash. And it's nobody else's fault but our own because we have not paid attention to the direction that the Lord has given us. He gives us very clear direction. I think it's so amazing because how many of us have read this scripture time and time and time again? And we think it's all about Peter being reinstated. No, it's all about all of us understanding that no matter how many times you screw up, God is going to be there and you need to be focused on Him. Don't worry about anybody else. Get your stuff in the right basket. And when you do, God will love you unconditionally forever and He'll direct your paths. Now, that means everything's going to be glorious and we're all going to get rich and we're going to be healthy and everything's going to go great all the time. You've been around me too long. As Miss Dottie just said, wrong chicken. What it means is God's going to use the things that happen to you in this life to teach you more about Him and yourself and His glory. Because that's what it's all about. When you're going through trial, when you're going through struggle, when you're going through strife, guess what? God is using you to teach other people what long-suffering means. God is using you to teach other people what loving Christ means. Because we can go through it because we know our eternity is not now. Our eternity is later, and our eternity is healthy and whole and wholly His. Can I get an amen? We have a reason to live and get through the pain because we know there's a glory in store for us that one moment in heaven is going to erase a lifetime of suffering. Can I get an amen? Because that is our hope. Hold on. Pain ends. I think this boy's preaching. I hope you're listening. Because there is a way that seemeth right unto man and leads unto death. And that way is the way of sin. And so many of us fall to that trap. Do you realize we are being taught that stuff right now by our political and socio-political culture? I want you to think about where our culture is right now. They are looking and pointing fingers at everybody, aren't they? Looking and pointing fingers at everybody. Not looking at themselves, but looking at everybody and pointing fingers and complaining about everybody. Complaining about everybody. But what about anybody? It's like an auctioneer with diarrhea of the mouth. It just floweth forth and it stinketh. And we as Christians are starting to do it too. My goodness, I know I do it. And I, you know, it's so funny because before I can preach a sermon, God has to make me understand, yeah, you're this screwed up. And He's talking about me, not you. Me. Oh, my goodness, Lord. Yeah, I say these things. Oh, my goodness, Lord, I do these things. And He's like, yeah, and I love you. Now, get back on the straight and narrow. And I'm telling you right now, I got goosebumps because I'm ashamed to admit the things that I admit before you people, but I will admit them because I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm your pastor. And if I'm this screwed up, I know you are. Now, I'm not being crude. I'm being honest. I'm being honest because I see the workings of God daily in my life and in your lives. There are times when I see the workings of God in your lives and you guys don't see it and I have to point it out. Tell me I'm not wrong, right? Or tell me I'm not right, excuse me. Because there have been many times when you'll come to me and, oh, Pastor, and then I got to show you where God has loved you. And then you're like, oh, yeah. That never happens to you, right, Rut? Never happens. Never happens to you, right, Bobby? No. You got it right all the time, right? We see clearly now the rain is gone, right? We all know that song. I hate to tell you, but the storm of life just keeps coming. It doesn't end. Until it ends. And then we will see clearly. Because then we will be changed. And we will be like Him. Because we will be in His glory. But until that day, we've got a fight to fight. And that fight is personal. We have to fight our own fight. I can't fight Russell and Noelle's fight, okay? I only have one living child. God knew I would screw up the other five, so he took them home to be with him. Poor Russell has to undergo my wrath and my ignorance, but in spite of me, I think God's done a pretty good job with him. And I'm grateful. And I'm not raising him up. I'm raising up the glory of my Lord, because at the age of four, we could have lost Russell with cancer. Okay? And we were praying for that young lady sitting next to him long before we knew that it was going to be her. And dear Glory, it's unbelievable because she's a friend of the family. And it's just amazing how God works. But when you get things right and you put God first and you seek God, God puts things in line that you can't see 25 years down the road, 30 years down the road, 50 years down the road, because he says, to those who love me, I will bless them to the thousandth generation. Do you understand that? We need that blessing for our children and our grandchildren and all those who are going to come after us. We don't know when Christ is coming back, amen? But we know he's coming. And I believe the time is short. But so did Peter, and so did Paul. And so has every generation that's gone before us. But I will hold this line until that great and faithful day. How important is this? Do you realize how many of us know the scripture that says, you know, we're supposed to take the log out of our own eye before we worry about the speck of sawdust in our neighbor's, right? Do you ever look at that whole teaching? Let's turn there. Let's turn there. Pete, I'm going to skip right to the second set, the whole set. Instead of doing the short one, we're going to do the long one. We're going to go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 39. Again, this is all right out of the gospel today, and I just felt that it was so important for us to really understand what Jesus is really trying to teach us here, and just what it means to live that victorious life. I mean, we have got to stay this course every day. This isn't something that you can pick up and say, oh, well, today I want a little bit of victory. No, because sin is going to pull at you 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour, 60 seconds every minute. Sin is going to pull at you and try to get you to fall. And Jesus says this to us, and we need to remember, this is one whole parable, this is one whole teaching. He says, a blind man cannot guide a blind man, can he? Will they not both fall into a pit? A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone, after he has been fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good, and the evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who calls on me and hears my word and acts on them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and it immediately collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great. Do you understand? We as people, we often break this up and make little snippets out of it. This is one whole teaching. This whole thing, Jesus is telling us something. He's trying to teach us a very real reality. And here it is, brothers and sisters. You cannot be worried about other people's walk, about other people's life, and think you're getting yours right. Because when you are focused on everybody else and what everybody else is doing, you're not working on yourself. You're showing yourself to be a hypocrite. Jesus just spoke those words. Because you're so worried about everybody else's stuff, your stuff seems unimportant. Why do you think Jerry Springer's on TV? Because if he can make this look like it's the new norm, then I must be all right. And that's exactly what our culture has done. They have taken all the absurdity, brought it up. They have literally pulled the plug out of the toilet, turned it upside down, and all the crap is floating on the surface. And we're saying, oh, isn't this beautiful? You know, I'm stalking pretty harsh as a pastor here. There's a lot of people who would turn me off right now. Hey, if that's what you're going to do, then you already understand where I'm at, and you need to hear this more than anybody else. Because this world asks us to take the things of abomination and say it's a blessing. And if we compromise one time, we have taken our eyes off of Christ. If we compromise one time, we have become that hypocrite. We have got to stay the course. And we have got to stay in our lane. And when somebody's talking to us, we tell them what lane we're in. If they don't like it, they don't have to walk in it. They can say whatever they want to say against us. And that's okay. You know, we killed Christ. To be honest, we didn't like what he had to say, did we? We put him on a cross. We nailed him to a tree. And the things that we meant for evil, God meant for our very good. Because you see, God has a way that is greater than ours. We have to be able to see that way from the sin that we're in. And that's impossible. It only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Most of us right now are probably thinking about some of the little things that we do or looking at it and saying, oh yeah, I gotta work on this. I gotta work on this. The reality is, you simply need to give your moments, this moment, the next moment, every moment to Christ. You need to walk with him and understand that the storms of life are going to come, right? What does it say here? This is what the man is like, okay? If you follow what he tells us, he says, he is like a man that built a house on and dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood occurred, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it. Brothers and sisters, we need to dig deep. That means get into you so that you can't be shaken. That means to get into your stuff. You see, God wants a personal relationship with each and every one of us. But Lisa, I'm going to love you as your pastor. I'm going to teach you these things. But I don't have to walk your walk, do I? You do. And I need to let you. But I need to be here for you when you need help. Amen? And that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to tell Lisa what to do. I'm here to show her as her pastor the way to walk. But then she has to walk it. And I can't constantly be going, oh, you're off mark. Oh, I saw that. Because then I'm not on mark. I got to stay in my lane. I got to let Lisa in her lane. And if we happen to be walking close enough, we can help each other stay in our lanes. That's how we walk. That's where God wants us. Because together we'll get there. But you can't walk my walk. I can't walk your walk. Walk it. Walk it. Because God loved you so much, He died for it. He died for you. He died to show you a love that you could never understand. Not until we die. I'm telling you right now, there's no human mind that can comprehend the love of God until the day we die on this earth. And we stand in heaven and He gives us a new brain. And all of a sudden we see things from an eternal nature. On that day, I'll guarantee you, every one of us will be on our knees. Every one of us is going to be on our face. Not because of fear, but because of love. Amen. And what He has really done for us. But our world wants to turn that around. Our world wants to stand in defiance to God and bring up the most debaucherous, wretched things in life and say they are good. And hold them high and lofty. I wonder how God feels in heaven when He looks down on us and sees where we are as a society. I'm not talking individually. Do you think His heart breaks? You know, I know a lot of people that would say, oh, He's angry. No, you're angry. Because my God, He does judge. Read the Old Testament. My God does judge. But right now, we are under grace. Do you understand what grace is? Grace is the love of God poured out unconditionally on everyone fully. Right now, I honestly believe in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, although in full and total control of all things, emotionally, are weeping on behalf of all of us for what we have become and what lies in front of us for the simple asking. We have got to stay this course. We can't change. We can't take somebody else's stuff. We've got to walk our walk every day and every day turn to Christ. If somebody is over here and they need help, help them. If somebody is over here and you see them doing something that we know is wrong and the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to rebuke them for these things, we rebuke. We, not you, we, this is the church, we rebuke them. It says, go to your brother, take two, then take the church. We are given guidelines. Jesus teaches us. He says, this is so amazing. We just read this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? How many of us right now are guilty of that very reality, knowing that we call Him Lord every day, but yet during the day somewhere, several times, we do things that we know He's not told us to do. In fact, we do things that He's told us not to do. And yet we call Him Lord, Lord. I don't want you to feel that a pastor's beating you up. I want you to see our condition. Do you see our condition? Do you see where we are? But praise God, He has loved us so much to raise us up out of that and to grant us the victory that all we have to do is call upon His name. Call upon His name. And dig deep. Dig deep here. Because this is where the fruit has to happen. I think it's funny, because if you remember the story, there was a tree. And this tree did not bear fruit for the master. So we don't know if it was a good tree or a bad tree. It just didn't bear fruit for the master. And the master wanted to cut it down. But there was a gardener there. Now, this is a picture of the father and the son, okay? This is a picture of the father and the son. And there was a gardener there. And the gardener said, oh, master, master, no, don't cut down the tree. Folks, we're the tree. Don't cut down the tree. Let me dig around the roots. Let me work the soil around it and put the good fertilizer in there. And if next year at this time it doesn't bear good fruit, then, oh Father, then, Lord, then we'll take the tree down. You see, that's Jesus in our lives. When does the tree get taken down? At the end of our lives. That's when we die. We have until that moment to begin producing good fruit. Stop being that fruitless tree. Stop looking around at everybody else and start focusing on what God is doing to you right here where you are. God loves you so much, He wants you. He wants you. Every bit of you. That's how much you mean to Him. That He would step in and stop the Father from wiping us out and give Himself in our place. Think about that. Do you know any other love that great? I know I don't. You know, I think it's amazing because if we think about this, our United States, how have we been able to keep this country as it is? I mean, for what it is now, there is a semblance of it left. I look out here and I see my veterans. How much does it cost to keep this country free? And it's funny because when we say cost, we oftentimes think of money, don't we? I don't know about you, but if you go over here to the Gap, you walk through it one time, there's no amount of money on the earth that could pay the price of the first headstone, let alone the thousands that are there. And I want you to think about all of them in Arlington. I want you to think about all of them in every state. I want you to think about all of them who died over in the Philippines, who died over in Europe, whose graves are there and will remain there forever, marking the truth that the freedom of America cost dearly. And it cost life. Freedom is not free. Your freedoms, freedom to choose, cost God everything. That's how much He loves you. All He asks is two little simple things. Stay the course, and stay in your own lane. Get it right. He loves you that much that He'll let you screw up and He'll bring you back. Not once, not twice, not three times like He did Peter, but however many times you need until the tree gets cut down. And in that day, then God will make His judgment. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You so much for these wonderful people who are here this day. And for all of those who are out there on the internet listening and partaking of Your food. Because Lord God, we do need to stay the course. We need to stay in our own lane. And we need to run the race with perseverance that is marked out before us. Because Lord, as we do those things, You will guide us unto Your health and wholeness. Father, help us to be those ones who dig deep and make that foundation sure, that we will know that when the storms of life come, in Christ Jesus, we will stand, not because of us, but because of what you have done in us. So be it now, so be it forever. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.